This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 16th Psalm and to that last verse where the psalmist declares, "You will show to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." I have heard it said of some people that they are so heavenly minded, they are no earthly good. I don't know that I have ever met that person. I think I would like to. I would like to meet that person whose mind is so intense on heavenly things. Most people I know and I meet are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. That they're so involved in the things of this earth, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things, so that God's word is not fruitful in their lives. I think that we need to be a little more heavenly minded. I think that we need to understand a little more fully that which God has prepared for those that love Him. I think that many times our lack of understanding of what heaven is going to be like affects our attitude towards death. So many times when an older person dies who has been an invalid for many years, whose body has been racked with pain and suffering, and they have diminished capacities, death is oftentimes sort of a relief. And we say, well, it's good that the Lord has taken them because they're not suffering anymore. And death becomes sort of a relief. But when a child dies, so many times we wring our hands and we say, oh, what a shame that they should die so young when they had their whole life before them. The whole life of suffering and pain and hardship and anxiety and despair. They missed it all. They went to be with the Lord in the glory of His presence, without having to go through all of the pain and suffering that we experience during our lifetimes. And it's our lack of a true understanding of what God has in store for those that love Him that causes us to have many times this wrong attitude towards death. Paul the Apostle, understanding what God had in store, said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And when you really understand what heaven is all about and what God has in store for you, you with Paul will be bound to say, well, for me to live, hey, that's Christ, but to die, that's gain. Paul said, it's really far better. For the psalmist said, "You have shown to me the path of life. And in your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." The promise, "You will show to me the path of life," is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus said to His disciples on that last night before His crucifixion, the night in which He was betrayed, He said to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, now believe also in me. And in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now Thomas, one who never pretended to know something he didn't, answered Jesus and said, Lord, we don't know the way. How can we know the way? Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You will show to us the path of life. Jesus said, I am the path of life. I am the way, the truth, the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. When Jesus was finally approaching the village of Bethany where his friend Lazarus had lived and died, Martha, one of the sisters of Lazarus, who had sent an urgent message to Jesus to come quickly because the one he loved was dying, and Jesus, having hesitated to make his trip to Bethany, arrived, as far as Martha was concerned, too late. Her brother was now dead for 4 days, had been buried. And so when she met Jesus, she said, Lord, if you would only have been here, my brother would not have died. I think she was rather upset with Jesus, the fact that it took him so long to get there. And Jesus said, well, Martha, your brother will live again. And she said, oh, yes, Lord, I know, on the last day, the great resurrection. And Jesus answered and said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and he who lives and believes in me shall never die. You will show to us the path of life. Jesus said, I am that life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet he will live. And if you live and believe in me, you will never die. And for those who have found Jesus as the path of life, there is no death. Paul the Apostle speaks about the change that takes place, a necessary change. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We're not all of us going to sleep. And it's interesting, because a Christian does not die, it was necessary that they have a word that would refer to what happened to a Christian. And so they would commonly say, well, he is asleep in the Lord. Now, the word asleep there, or sleeping, is a different Greek word than just, you know, going to bed at night and putting your head on the pillow and what we call going to sleep. It's a different Greek word. One almost that was just sort of developed to describe something different from just sleeping on your pillow at night and dying. It is wrong to think that a Christian has died. They have been changed. And thus Paul said, I'll show you the mystery. We're not all of us going to sleep, but we will all of us be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. There is a metamorphosis that must take place. For this corruption, our body, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so for the child of God, what the world terms as death is really nothing more than a metamorphosis, a change of body. And Paul said, when that change takes place, then shall be brought to pass the saying, O death, Where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? For God has shown to us the path of life in and through Jesus Christ. Writing to the Thessalonian church, Paul said, "For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep," that is, whether or not I'm in the present state of waking, or in the term for the Christian, I'm sleeping, "we should live together with him." So right now, I am living together with Christ. I live in fellowship with him. When I, what the world terms, dies, I shall still be living in his presence. Only I will be in a new form. My body will have been changed, and I will be in my new body, which is from heaven, that building of God. And so the psalmist earlier in verse 9 said, "My heart shall be glad, my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope." Now, you could not say that if death was death to the child of God. He didn't say, "I have shown to you the path of death." You wouldn't say, "Oh, that's glorious. My heart rejoices. I have great hope." But he's shown to us the path of life, which causes our gladness of heart. And our hope and rejoicing is in the promise that is made to us through Jesus, that as we live and believe in him, we will never die. Now, it is true, as far as this body is concerned, that the catabolic forces are at work, and they are taking their toll, so that this old house is gradually going to pieces. The windows in this old house aren't as clear as they used to be. And things sort of look fuzzy at times. In fact, I can't read the number out of a phone book unless I have these glasses on. The windows are just blurrier than they used to be. And the hinges, they're creaking and cracking. I noticed this past week or so, when I put a little pressure on this upper wisdom tooth on this side, there's some nerve and there's some pain, and I'm going to have to call and make an appointment. I'm going to have my wisdom teeth taken out. I'm just debating, shall I do it before I go to Israel or afterwards? But I can begin to feel it, and I've invested a lot of money in those things. You hate to lose them after all the gold and everything else that you've invested in them, but you know, it's just the way. I mean, the old house is just not what it used to be. It's just, and the Bible says, we know that when this old house, this tent, this body in which we presently live, is dissolved, that we have a building of God that's not made with hands, that's eternal in the heavens. So then we who are in these bodies do often groan, earnestly desiring to move out of them. Not that I want to be an unembodied spirit, but I desire to move into that new body which is from heaven. For I know that as long as I'm living in this house, this body, I'm absent from the Lord, but I would choose rather to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord, because God has shown to me the path of life. And I know that in his presence there is fullness of joy. And I know that at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Peter, in his letter, had been writing to them about Jesus, and he said to them, "Whom having not seen, yet you love him. And though you do not even see him now, yet you rejoice with a joy that is unspeakable," or a joy that is indescribable, and it's full of glory. I haven't yet seen the Lord. And yet in that hope of one day standing there, as Paul said, now we see through the glass darkly, but then face to face. And one day I know I shall stand face to face with my Lord. I will see him who loved me and gave himself for me. I will see him in all of his glory. You had a difficult time singing it, but that song that we sang, unfortunately, with your struggling through it, you probably didn't get the message. We shall behold him in all of his glory, Jesus our Lord, our Savior and King. We shall behold him. Oh, the thrill, the glory of the anticipation of seeing our Lord face to face in his glory and in his beauty. For he has shown to us the path of life. And in his presence, he declares there is fullness of joy. I believe that the Bible indicates that it is the purpose of God that your life be filled with joy. Jesus spoke of that fullness of joy. In the 15th chapter of John, he said, "Now if you will abide in me, and my words will abide in you." In this relationship of abiding in Christ, his word abiding in us, he said, and therefore will your joy be full. Talked about the fullness of joy, related it to this abiding relationship. In the 16th chapter of John, again he spoke to his disciples about that fullness of joy. And he related it to their prayer life. He said, from up to this point, you haven't asked in my name. Now ask that you might receive that your joy may be full. That fullness of joy that's related to our prayer life. John, when he wrote his first epistle, there in chapter 1, verse 4, relates this fullness of joy to our fellowship with God. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have steadfastly gazed upon. That word which was from the beginning, but was made manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you might have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. And he relates that fullness of joy to this fellowship with God and the fellowship that we have with one another as the result of our fellowship with God. In his second epistle, he relates this fullness of joy to his anticipated visit and seeing face to face this person that he addressed the second epistle to. I hope that we come that we might see each other face to face, that our joy may be full. The fullness of joy. In his presence, it declares, there is fullness of joy. Our minds cannot imagine the glory, the wonder, the awe that we will experience when that day comes when I shall stand there face to face with Jesus. I will need a new body to handle that kind of ecstasy. This old body's just too far gone to handle that kind of an experience. And so God's going to give me a new body so I can really handle the experience of being there, seeing my Lord face to face. The glory, the joy, the ecstasy of it all. In his presence there is fullness of joy. And when you stand there beholding him, oh, the joy that you will experience. Paul said, eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. I mean, you can't imagine the joy, the glory that God has prepared for you who have come to know the path of life in Jesus Christ. Paul said, but he has revealed them unto us. And Paul talked about that revelation. He said, there was a man in Christ about 12 years ago. Whether he was in his body or out of his body, I really don't know. Whether I was dead or alive, I really can't tell. But I do know that I was caught up to the third heaven, and those things that I heard were so fantastic, so glorious, that it would be a crime to try to describe them with human language. You see, we haven't developed or invented words in the human language that can express the supernal joys that shall be ours when we stand that day in the presence of our Lord. For in his presence there is fullness of joy. In the book of Revelation, as the Lord begins to reveal to John a little bit about heaven, chapter 21. It is declared that the dwelling place of God is now with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. All things have become new. No tears, no crying, no pain, no suffering, no fears, no anxieties, no worries. The former things are passed away, and in his presence there is fullness of joy. Isaiah, writing of that new heaven and new earth that God promised, God speaking through Isaiah, Isaiah 65:17 declared, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever, fullness of joy, in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I shall rejoice in Jerusalem, and I will joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall not be heard anymore, nor the voice of crying." As he describes for us what it's going to be like when we are there in his presence. For in his presence there is fullness of joy. Beyond your capacity to think or to dream. I see Gordy's drinking it in this morning. Gordy, no more wheelchairs. No more diminished capacities. No more struggle or effort to express yourself so that others can understand. For this corruption will put on incorruption and this mortal immortality. And I will be changed, my body, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And I shall be like him. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. How long? Forevermore. The Bible says this is the record. God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son, and he who has the Son has life. Pleasures forevermore. These pleasures, this fullness of joy is to never end. The Bible says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. The angel, when he spoke to Mary about the child that was to be born, he said concerning her son that he was to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Paul tells us that in the ages to come, God shall be revealing unto us the exceeding riches of his grace and of his kindness towards us through his Messiah, Jesus. Jesus said that in that day he shall say to his faithful servant, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Now I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. At his right hand, pleasures forevermore. Again, Jesus said, in that day, he shall say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom that's prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Fullness of joy. At his right hand, pleasures forevermore. At his right hand, those on his right hand, he will say, come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. At his right hand, pleasures forevermore. What about his left hand? And to those on his left hand, he said, depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, which was prepared for Satan and his angels. A rather awesome thought that each one of us here this morning will be standing either at his right hand or his left hand in that day. The major question is, where will you be standing in that day? And in that day, he shall say, in that day, will you be standing on the right hand and hear his word, come, ye blessed of the Father? At his right hand, pleasures forevermore? Or will you be among those on the left hand, of whom he will say, depart, ye cursed? You see, it depends upon what your relationship is to him now. Are you walking now in fellowship with him? Are you walking today in that path that God has shown to us? For he will show to us the path of life. God has shown to us that path of life. It is Jesus Christ. Now, are you walking in that path? Don't believe the rot that every road leads to God. That's a lie of Satan. It's a deception. The Bible says that there is a way, there is a path that seems right to man, but the end of that path is death. Jesus said, I am the path of life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. But by coming that path, you begin to experience the presence of the Lord where there is fullness of joy. And you know that in that day you'll be standing at his right hand where there are pleasures forevermore. God's word, God's promise. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. But your ultimate destiny will be in one place or the other. And by choice. Don't believe the lie that God sends men to hell. God has never sent one person to hell, ever. Men go there by their own deliberate choice. And in so doing, they defy every endeavor of God to save them. God sent his Son to save you from sin, to keep you from hell. He is the path of life. And to walk in that path will bring you fullness of joy and to that place where there is pleasure forevermore. To not walk in that path, to walk in the path of your own flesh, rebelling against God and God's love, will lead to its own inevitable consequences. For the truth must be declared, God has shown to us the path of life. And in his presence there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And you may experience it if you will but receive Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today that you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all men might know the joy of your presence as they walk in the path of life through Jesus Christ. Until we come into your kingdom where there are pleasures forevermore. O Lord, today I pray that you will deal with the hearts of the people. And may there not be a hardening of the heart against the Lord and against the Spirit. Lord, may there be that opening of the heart to receive the love of God for man in Christ Jesus. Bind, I pray, Lord, those powers of darkness that would hold people in darkness, that would blind their eyes that they cannot see. And Lord, may your Spirit deal with them now concerning the path of life that we may walk in the joy of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have not yet received Jesus as your Savior, if you're not walking in that path of life, I would encourage you today, turn. Turn from the path of destruction, path of sin and unrighteousness, and begin to walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ on the path of life. The invitation has been given by God to all men, that whosoever would believe in him, Christ, Jesus Christ, would not perish, but have everlasting life. In his presence, fullness of joy forever. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room and there begin a new life. Begin to walk a new path, that path of life in Christ. You'll never be sorry. You'll be eternally grateful. In his presence, fullness of joy. At his right hand, pleasures forevermore.
your opportunity today to get right with God, walk in His path. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord strengthen you and bless you. May you this week experience the joy of His presence as you walk in fellowship with Him through Jesus Christ.